Before sunrise, a cold wind lifts fog from the clearing. A survey flag flickers, thin against dark pines. The couple stands quiet, boots wet, breath slow. No crews yet, no stacked lumber, no shining panels. Only dirt, water, and the price of every mistake. They walk lines pulled tight between stakes. A creek pushes through grass lower than a knee. A long ridge holds the first light. Phone screens glow for a moment, then go dark. A truck idles on the two-track, heater ticking. This build asks for steady hands and simple rules. Read the ground before pouring money into it. Listen to the wind before setting walls. Find water before hanging lights. Make choices now, while the soil still gives answers. The first season will not forgive guesswork. The story begins here, with land that speaks in slopes, shadows, and small clues, and with people willing to hear it. Chapter 1, The Land Chooses You. Sun clears the ridge at 7:30 a.m. The couple starts at the southwest corner, where a ribbon marks a line set last visit. A paper contour map rides a clipboard. Lines bunch tight near the creek and ease toward the ridge. Yesterday's rain left fine silt over gravel. A boot sinks near the low spot, then lifts with a soft pull. They follow the line toward a flag hung from a sapling. Drainage shows itself in pale curves of grass laid flat. A deer trail crosses at an angle and slips under brush. Fresh prints pass within a yard of the flagged edge. Wildlife moves through here with a memory older than fences. Setbacks will keep distance from those paths. They pick a point for a test pit. The auger bites into loam, then meets small stone at a foot. At 2 feet, clay shows as a dark smear. A third foot gives coarse gravel and better smell. The soil holds shape for a count of three, then breaks. Notes go to the clipboard in clean block letters. Loam over clay with gravel below. Drainage is fair if water stays moving. They kneel and watch the sun path with a phone compass and a simple card. 10 minutes pass as light creeps across open ground. Wind brushes grass from west to east. A jacket zip lifts and rattles, then goes quiet. The ridge shields gusts from the north. A tall pine marks true south within a small margin. In winter, low sun will cut across that line. Eaves and glass will need care later, but today is for reading light, not sizing systems. They drive to the access point and idle at the entrance. The track holds two ruts and a grassy crown. Last snow season, a neighbor said this slope ices early. They walk the first 100 yards with a shovel and a straight edge. Crown is shallow near the ditch. Water wants the road in heavy rain. A culvert lies crushed in the grass beyond the gate. Notes again. Winter approach needs a plan before machines arrive, or tow bills will eat the budget. Back at mid-parcel, they take a signal check. Phone service swings between one bar and none. They try a call on a small hand radio. A clear voice answers from the truck at the gate. Range is fine across the open, weak in the draw. A simple relay on the ridge will cover work days. In storms, text will lag or fail. Safety will depend on radio habits and a standing check in time. They trace a rectangle with rope to feel scale underfoot. The rope catches on scrub and low rock. Stakes land on a gentle shoulder above the creek, high enough to clear flood lines left by driftwood. A stick scratches a level mark into sandy soil. If this shoulder holds, winter winds find less grip, and summer shade reaches edges by late day. They stand inside the rope and look out, not inward. Trees frame sky. Noise from the county road fades to a low hum. Wildlife marks return near the north line. A narrow path drops to water, then rises to a deadfall where squirrel chatter turns sharp. They follow it only long enough to see crossing points. A second path skirts the flagged corner and heads east. The homestead will live near those routes for years. Fences, gardens, and a dog run will respect those lanes. Pressure on old patterns leads to broken gates and midnight visits from hungry mouths. The budget comes out next. A notebook holds a range set before land search began. For columns. Land cost, access and grading, water start dry-in. One more line reads wiggle room. The number on that line is smaller now. Fuel, gravel, steel. Prices moved since winter. Must have sit on a second page. Dry shelter before first storm. Safe water source. Heat with backup. A radio plan that works in blackouts. Nice to have's weight in a third column. Porch screen. Extra windows on the ridge side. A bigger pantry. They measure walking distance from the rope rectangle to the creek. 30 steps down, 35 back up. A child could manage the grade with a hand on a rail. In ice, sand would help, and a small footbridge would keep boots out of mud. They listen again. No turbine whine, no substation buzz, no flight path overhead. Only a flicker from a hawk, and the steady sound of water over stone. They open the contour map again, and mark the rope corners as small dots. A pencil line traces a proposed path from the access point to the shoulder. The line bends to keep a swale on its low side. A second up marks a possible shed farther from the creek. Storage away from the house lowers risk if a small fire ever starts. Clear lanes help snow work and keep dust down in dry months. Midday arrives with thin clouds. They dig a second test pit near a stand of birch. Here the auger hits clay sooner. At 1 foot the smear runs thick. Water would linger here after storms. Good for a small pond someday, not for a house site. They circle back to the first shoulder and make a third pit behind the rope rectangle. Gravel returns at 2 feet. The smell is clean and sharp. A narrow ribbon of lighter sand threads through darker soil. Old river work, not a hardpan plate. A final pass covers wind. A light flag on a pole turns slow and points west by northwest. In fall and winter, storms ride that track. Tree line to the west will break gusts, but not fully. A windbreak planted this year grows into real help in 3 to 5 years. They mark a strip 30 feet wide for future pines and shrubs. For now, building placement and roof pitch will carry more of the load. They take one more slow loop of the rope. Questions stay simple. Will the track accept a delivery truck after a cold night? Will the creek hold its banks in late spring? Will snow stack on the shoulder or slide off the slope? The couple does not ask for guarantees. Land speaks in trends, not promises. Notes fill the last half page. They pack the auger, fold the map, and pull the rope. Stakes remain for the next visit. No purchases today beyond fuel and time. The build will rise where the ground says yes in small ways. Water moves here without pooling. Sun gives enough hours without beating all afternoon. Wind meets trees before knocking doors. Wildlife holds lanes without conflict. The voice of the parcel is not loud, but it is steady. The next question waits at the gate. Is this piece workable through 4 seasons inside the budget on the page? Chapter 2, Water and Power First. The task is simple on paper. List what the house will use in a day and a night. Watch the sun cross the chosen shoulder. Ask where water will come from when skies stay dry. Then turn noise and pressure into numbers a family can live with. They start with a yellow pad on the tailgate. Day loads first. A laptop for 2 hours. 2 phones on charge for 1 hour each. A small fridge that sips all day. 2 lights over the workbench for 3 hours. A washing cycle twice a week, average to a short daily slice. Night loads next. 2 room lights for 3 hours. A fan for summer nights. A small pump if the cistern sits below the sink height. They add a wood stove blower for cold snaps. Each line gets a what number and a time. The pad fills with easy math read out loud. Tallies land at the bottom. Day work wants more than night. Night still matters because batteries rest while people sleep. At 9:10 a.m., a phone on a small tripod starts a time lapse facing south. The rope rectangle from Chapter 1 sits in frame. Pines throw long fingers of shade at first. By 11, gaps open and light stays on the center. At 1 in the afternoon, a cloud slides through and the frame dims for a minute, then clears. By 3:30, shade creeps back from the west tree line. The clip runs to 5. 7 good hours of clean sun cross the ground, with 2 more hours on the edges. A note goes on the pad. Ground mount in the open winds over roof if trees hold their height. They meet a well driller by the gate just after noon. He has worked these hills for 20 years. He points to the ridge and the old river path in the soil. He says most wells here find water between 100 and 200 feet. Some go deeper. Yield can be a slow trickle or a steady flow. He is plain about money and time. He is also plain about risk. He offers to mark a likely spot and a second choice up the shoulder. He says a pump that lifts from deep will ask for real power on start. They thank him and walk the marks. In late afternoon, they talk to a neighbor who runs rain catchment with pride. She shows a gutter path to a small filter, a first flush pipe, and a tank under shade. She says her house pulls 20 to 40 gallons a day for 2 people in summer. More when friends visit. She tracks use on a clipboard by the back door. She orders water by truck when storms miss for weeks. She says dust is the quiet enemy. She rinses screens often and replaces them once a year. The couple writes, start with rain and plan for a future well, or drill first and use rain as buffer. The choice will ride on budget and season. By 4, flags rise on a contour above the rope rectangle for a cistern site. The key is head, the small pressure you get from height. They speak the math in plain words so it sticks. Water gains about 0.43 pounds per square inch for every foot of drop. 10 feet of drop gives about 4.3 pounds per square inch. 15 feet gives about 6.5. Enough for a sink, not enough for a strong shower without a small boost pump. They mark a line from the flagged pad to the house corner. The run is short, the drop is 9 feet, the brush is light. A gravity path is possible with a small assist pump at the sink for comfort. Next comes sound. They roll a small generator into the open and set it on a pad of plywood. Hearing protection goes on. The first test is at 20 feet on bare ground. A handheld meter reads numbers, and the ears do the rest. The thrum carries more than expected. They step back to 100 feet near the access track. The noise drops and birdsong slips back in. They test again with the generator tucked behind a short soil berm. Quieter. They log the times and readings, and then shut it down. A note in caps goes on the pad. Exhaust must point away from any opening. Carbon monoxide kills in minutes. A second note sets quiet hours by habit. Fuel is locked dry and stored far from flame. The energy budget takes shape on the tailgate. They speak in kilowatt hours, but keep the numbers friendly to the ear. Day use adds up to a handful of kilowatt hours if they pick efficient tools and keep habits steady. Night use is less than half of that. Start loads from pumps and motors raise the stakes for the inverter. The pad shows a first draft. Panels sized for winter sun will feel easy in summer. Batteries sized for one full day of run time and a gentle depth of discharge will last longer. A plan forms. Start small, wire clean, leave space to add a string of panels and two more batteries in year two if work or family grows. Water budget follows the same plain line. Drinking and cooking get a set number first. Hand washing and quick showers get the next block. A weekly clothes wash gets divided by 7. Garden and animals are kept off the house tally for now. The couple sets a low daily target, and a normal one. The low day is for dry spells. The normal day is for most weeks. The neighbor's two-person number anchors the range. Rain roof area times local rainfall gives a seasonal yield. A second tank on the same pad gives a buffer when storms queue up. Truck delivery stays as a safety line for drought. They play the clip of the sun again, and place two marker stones where the array could sit. The ground is open, the slope is kind, the trench path to the house is short. A roof mount would work if the roof faced south and stayed unshaded, but the trees argue for a ground rack at waist height with space to tilt in winter. A ground rack can be brushed clean after a storm and checked without ladders. It can also be fenced to keep deer from rubbing legs on the frame. Risk gets a fresh minute. Batteries need clear space, no sparks, good ventilation, and clean cable runs. The transfer switch needs a simple lockout or tagout habit before any work near it. Propane, if used for cooking or as a generator fuel, needs a tight test at every joint with a soap solution. Power tools and wet grass ask for care. The pad reads like a safety talk before a shift. No rush. No shortcuts. Family habits will be set here and will matter when weather turns and people are tired. A small problem shows itself in the numbers. The fridge on the list draws more than they want for summer afternoons when clouds stack over the ridge. They walk to the truck and open a cooler they use on road days. A plan shifts. They will choose a high-efficiency fridge later and use cold storage smartly. They will keep a thermal mass corner in the house to hold cool at night. The fix is not to deny comfort. The fix is to push waste out of the system. They return to the cistern flags with a tape and a level. The pad size grows by a foot to allow for safe walk space and anchors. They plan a short shade roof above the tank to keep heat off plastic. They talk overflow. The pipe will direct heavy rain back to the swale, not to the house pad. A leaf guard at the top and a clean out at the bottom will make service simple. At dusk, they run one last test. The generator starts with a single pull. The transfer switch flips. A small load lights two bulbs and a work light in the open garage space at the edge of the shoulder. The meter on the inverter mock-up shows a clean sign and a steady voltage. They speak a ritual line they plan to keep. Power off at the end of work. Fuel cap tight. Cords coiled and hung. The day closes with two short lists. Energy, a ground rack in the open, an inverter sized for start loads, a battery bank that can grow, a small and quiet generator set behind a berm for rare use, and a strict habit of turning off what is not needed. Water. Rain first with clean screens and a first flush. A cistern above grade with a safe drop for gravity. A pump ready for comfort. A second tank when budget allows. And a well option kept open for year two if storms prove fickle. They do not chase perfect. They set a clear start that keeps people safe and systems simple. The choice between a drill rig and a gutter is not a belief. It is a season and a budget. The lesson on the tailgate is the same one tradespeople repeat to new hands. Count what you really use. Watch the site in real light. Size for the hardest month you expect. Leave room to grow. The next step sits between paper and earth. It waits at a public counter and in a test pit. Chapter 3, Paper and Dirt. At 8:40 a.m., the county counter is busy. Plans sit in cardboard rolls. A clerk slides two forms across the glass and points to a wall chart. Driveway, erosion control, septic, then house. She circles the first three and writes rough timelines. Inspections can slip when storms line up. The couple writes those notes on a small board they carry in a canvas bag. They ask about the creek. The clerk nods and marks a buffer line on the map copy. No soil work inside that distance. She adds one more reminder. Silt control must be in before clearing. The couple pays a fee for the driveway review and takes a number for septic scheduling. A text will confirm an inspector for the perk test. It may be 3 to 5 business days. By 10:15 a.m., they meet a road agent at the access point. He studies the ditch and the slope. He talks clear and simple. Set the culvert deep enough to keep grade. Aim the end so water returns to the ditch, not the road. He taps a note on the permit sheet. 18-inch pipe approved for this run. Riprap at the inlets and outlets. Cover with clean gravel to tire depth. The couple writes the same note on the timeline board. They park by the flagged shoulder and unload erosion control. Stakes, a roll of silt fence, straw wattles, and a mallet. The first line runs along the low edge above the creek buffer. They stretch the fabric tight, bury the toe, and drive stakes on the downhill side. Wattles pin across two small draws where water likes to sprint. A quick walk test shows no gaps. They leave room for equipment to enter without crushing the line. Phones come out for photos. One shot from each corner back toward the silt fence. One shot down each draw with the wattles in frame. A final wide shot from the access track that shows the house area and the buffer. Time stamps will help if weather hits, and an inspector checks after the fact. They log the file names on the board. After lunch, a survey map rides the clipboard again. They bring a small metal finder and a hand shovel to the north corner where brush is light. A tone sounds near a tuft of grass. The shovel lifts a flat rock and a slender pin shows at the edge. They clean it with a rag, paint the top, and take a photo with a boot toe in frame for scale. The east pin sits under leaf litter near the birch stand. They repeat the steps and record again. Found pins confirm the line before any dirt moves. They stake house corners with offsets, not on the exact marks. Two stout hubs sit back from each corner by a safe distance. Small nails set the lines on the hubs. Bright flagging wraps each stick. If a machine bumps a string, the line can be pulled from the hubs again without guessing. They pull tape corner to corner and read diagonals out loud. Numbers match within an inch. Good enough for this stage. A final long line marks a clear path for the driveway, so stake lines and machines do not fight. Late afternoon brings a message. The septic perk test is set for 9 a.m. tomorrow. They meet the driller's helper by the flagged area the next morning. Two test holes go down with a post auger. The inspector arrives with a clipboard and a stopwatch. Each hole gets pre-soaked and then measured. The top inch of water drops in minutes they count and speak. One hole shows a slow, steady rate. The other drains faster. The inspector reads out the numbers and matches them to a table. The soil is suitable at a set depth with the right field size. He marks a rectangle on the ground and on the form. He signs the sheet and gives a copy. The inspector walks the silt fence and wattles before he leaves. He checks for toe-in at the fence and solid stakes at the curves. He tugs on the wattles. He says they look ready for rain. He reminds them to check after every storm and repair any washouts the same day. The couple nods and writes a storm check line on the board. They return to the county office in mid-afternoon with the signed perk form and the driveway notes. The clerk accepts the packet and stamps the intake. She gives a small sign for the site. Permit pending, erosion control in place. Posted at the gate, and keep the packet on hand. Clearing can begin in a narrow scope once the sign is up and the silt line holds. Grading plans stay light at this step. They mark only what the county expects before weather moves. Brush clearing above the fence line. A rough cut of the driveway along the flagged path. No soil piles near the buffer. Spoil to a temporary pad on high ground. They write those lines on the board with simple dates. The first pass should finish before the next front. The forecast hints at 2 inches of rain by midweek. They make one last loop of the corners before heading out. Offsets stand true. Flags do not sag. Silt fence holds a clean line. The culvert note sits bold on the permit sheet. Photos live in a folder with clear names. The question that opened the day feels less heavy now. Yes, they can clear and grade within the rules if they stay tight to the steps and watch the sky. The timeline board rides the dash as they leave. The first storm window is coming fast. Chapter 4, Dry-in Window. A front slides in from the west by midweek. The forecast shows wind and 2 inches of rain. The goal is simple. Seal a shell before the first hard drop hits the ridge. Morning meeting starts at 7:15 a.m. on the shoulder, marked in Chapter 3. A local builder studies soil notes, then taps the map where gravel showed at 2 to 3 feet. He runs through footing versus pier in plain talk. Footings give a wide base on this mix. Piers save digging and move faster with small crews. Frost depth sits on a printed card. He points to the line and nods to the shovel. Time and weather decide. They pick short piers with wide pads, tied with beams higher than the last flood strand line. The builder signs the day plan on the whiteboard. By 9, holes sit square and clean. Pads go in on compacted base, then rebar ties off. Forms stay tight. A small crew keeps edges straight and run out safe for boots. No rebar and stick into walk paths. Everyone wears eye and ear protection. The pour starts before lunch and finishes while sun still holds. A plastic sheet covers fresh pads with weights at corners. Wind fingers at the edges, then gives up. The builder traces each pier with a level. He speaks numbers out loud. Tolerances land inside a slim band. Next morning, posts rise. Each seat meets a pier bracket with bolts torqued in sequence. Bracing runs in both directions. A hand checks every strap, every nut. The crew keeps a steady pace and calls out every move. No ladders sit on loose soil. No one walks under lifted beams. A quick tailgate talk covers nailers, pinch points, and a plan for thunderstorms. If lightning shows, tools go down and everyone heads for trucks. By afternoon, beams lock across posts. A string line stays in sight to keep runs true. Subfloor panels follow with glue lines neat and nails spaced by habit. Edges gap for swell. As the last sheet lands, a gust lifts dust across the ridge. The builder looks at the sky and reads the horizon. He moves the board forward by a day. The roof deck needs to meet underlayment before the front arrives. Walls frame out on the deck, flat and square. 3 people lift each section on account. Plumb lines hang, braces pin, and corners hold. Window and door rough openings match the plan taped inside the trailer. No one reaches into a nailer bite zone. Nail guns stay on belts with locks set during moves. A helper keeps offcuts stacked and clear of feet. Roof lines go up next. Rafters meet at a ridge. Bird's mouths sit clean on the plates, and ties lock where the engineer called for them. A safety line runs along the ridge for the 2 on top. One ground voice spots and calls hazards. She checks harness points, ladder feet, and the weather app every 15 minutes. When the ridge line closes, she signs the line on the board. The roof deck lands before dusk. Panels run tight to lay out marks, nails sit proud of nothing, and edges stagger true. Underlayment follows while light fades. A roll arcs across the slope, then another overlaps. Caps pin every line. Valleys get extra coverage where storms like to pry. The last strip meets the ridge by headlamp. A hand runs along, seems to feel snags. None show. The builder smiles without saying much. He draws a slow line across the day plan. Roof skin achieved. Morning brings house wrap. Wind rises, so the crew works in short pulls. Wrap runs shingle style with taped seams. Corners fold clean. Seams meet window lines marked by a pencil cross. Flashing tape waits on a warm dashboard to stay pliable. Each window opening gets a sill pan formed from tape and a back dam. When the first unit slides in, shims land, flanges seat, and screws bite to depth. Level and plumb read true. Tape wraps flanges in sequence. The process repeats until every opening holds glass or a temp panel. Doors follow. Thresholds sit on beads of flexible sealant. Jams square to the hinge side first. Gaps red even on all sides. Locks throw smooth. A helper cherishes one habit above all today. He labels every fastener box and puts it back in the same crate after each door. Small order, fewer lost minutes. Clouds thicken before noon. The ridge goes gray. A flag at the access track snaps east. The crew moves to one last task before the watch. Drip edge sits on roof edges where water tries to creep. It meets underlayment clean. Gutters wait for a dry window in Chapter 6, so edges take the load today. At 1:30 p.m., the first hard drops fall. Everyone clears ladders, coils cords, and stows tools. The generator stays off. The house sits with roof skin, wrapped tight, windows and doors set, and seams taped. The builder walks the perimeter with the couple. He presses at wrap edges and watches corners. No lift shows. He steps back to catch the whole shell in view. The line of the ridge, the fall of the roof, the set of the windows. Simple, square, and sealed. Storm watch starts in the truck. Wipers thump a steady beat. A notebook sits on a lap with a page titled Leak Log. Time stamps mark each round. At 2:15, rain drives hard from the west. The crew steps inside the shell with headlamps. They skin corners, sills, and ridge. No water moves on the subfloor. At 3, wind shifts south. They check again. One window shows a dark line at the lower corner. A finger touches and lifts a damp mark. The builder sets a ladder inside and peels a few inches of tape outside during a lull. He sets a fresh piece over a wrinkle and rolls it flat with a small tool. The leak log marks the fix, then stays blank the rest of the hour. By 4, heavier bands pass through. The roof holds. The ridge line sheds clean. Underlayment lays flat where nails sit right. At the north door, a small pool builds from splash. A strip of scrap directs water off the threshold. They add it to a to-do list for a temporary stoop once rain ends. Safety meeting runs again at 5. No one climbs wet ladders. No one chases flapping edges in a gust. They walk gear checks and plan tomorrow's cleanup. If the site turns to mud, they will lay down a short run of base rock for feet and a wheelbarrow. No trucks on the soft shoulder until sun works the surface. Night falls early under heavy sky. The couple sits under the open porch line and listens. Water beads on wrap and runs to grade. No drip echoes inside. The air smells of fresh cut wood and rain. It is a small win, and it matters. Morning breaks clear. Puddles shine. The crew walks the perimeter and the interior again. No new stains show on subfloor panels. The leak log stays on a single line. Tape edges still press tight with a thumb. Windows open and close without stick. Doors latch with a clean click. The builder signs the board for dry and complete. They take photos from each corner. One wide shot shows roof, wrap, doors, windows, and the posted permit. Another shows taped seams with date and time. A third shows the leak fix from inside and out. The folder fills with proof for inspectors, lenders, and for their own records. Lessons go on the last page. Read weather with time to spare. Keep lifts short when the wind rises. Store tape warm. Stage flashing where hands will reach for it fast. Set one person to watch safety and sky while others work. Keep a leak log so memory does not argue with numbers. The crew packs up before lunch. The ridge throws a thin shadow across the roof. The shell stands quiet, edges neat, openings sealed. No wires yet. No pipes. Only a box that keeps weather out long enough for careful work later. The builder shakes hands at the truck. He points once at the ridge and once at the silt fence still holding. He says the storm gave a fair test. He leaves without more words. The couple steps inside and looks up through the framed ceiling. Light slides across the deck. Air moves, but no rain rides with it. For a moment, the site feels like a home in outline. The next chapter waits behind this calm. The question shifts with it. Will the systems that keep people alive start clean and pass every basic safety check on day one? Chapter 5, Systems That Keep You Alive. The task on the board is clear. Bring power, water, waste, and heat online without drama. Do it so a tired person can run it at night in the rain. The couple keeps the plan simple. Start one system at a time. Test, label, and log. A small crew arrives after breakfast. A licensed electrician walks the power path. He studies the ground rack flags from Chapter 2 and nods at the open sky. the array will live at waist height behind a short fence. He checks clearances at the inverter wall and the battery cabinet. Nothing blocks airflow. Cable runs stay short and tidy. He talks in plain words. Keep low voltage wires away from sharp edges. Protect the big cables where feet and tools might hit. Cover the battery lugs when you finish. Before anyone touches a panel or a disconnect, the crew reviews lockout and tagout. The main switch gets a bright tag. The generator key stays in a pocket the whole time. One person holds the tag and the key. She says the rule out loud. If you did not lock it, you do not unlock it. Everyone repeats the line. The trench from the rack to the house opens in a neat cut. Conduit glides in with smooth bends. Pull strings wait for wire. The electrician sets a junction block at the rack and a shutoff at the wall inside the shell. He explains the transfer path in one sentence. The array feeds the batteries through the inverter. The inverter feeds the critical loads through the transfer switch. The generator sits in reserve for clouds and repairs. The couple writes the same sentence in their notebook. A propane tech parks by the berm built in Chapter 2. He uncoils yellow line toward the small pad where the future stove will sit and toward the generator bay. He threads each joint with care. He closes the system and sets a low-pressure test. A gauge holds a number. Soap solution goes on every joint. A few small bubbles slide and vanish. One joint at a corner pushes a line of tiny beads. He closes a wrench around the fitting and gives a steady pull. Soap again. No movement now. He logs the time, the number, and the fix. Inside, a plumber lays PX loops along marked paths. He keeps runs short and protects bends. He sets a simple freeze plan. Supply lines avoid the north wall. Exposed sections get sleeves. He leaves room for a small drain down point near the sink. He writes one instruction on tape near the valve. Open here when a hard freeze is coming and no power is expected. The couple reads it back. The septic tank arrives on a low trailer at midday. The excavator operator moves with slow hands. He lowers the tank to a bed of compacted base. He checks level both ways. He sets the inlet and outlet to the marks from the perk sheet. Trenches for the field run straight and true. Crushed stone goes down clean. Lines sit with a small slope that drains well. The inspector walks the run and signs the form with a nod. Trenches close with smooth lifts. No piles sit near the creek buffer. A composting toilet base waits on a bench as an alternative line. Vent parts sit in a small box. The couple looks at the main plan and the backup. The narrator notes their tone. They want choice. They want one system to carry most days, and one to carry a week of heavy snow or a pump failure. The vent stack for the compost unit stands ready if year one asks for it. The chimney pro arrives with a tape and a small angle guide. He reads the manual clearances on a card and repeats them twice. Stove to wall, stove to furniture, and the path to the door for ash buckets. He sets a test mark on the floor and chalks the wall shields. He finds studs and sets spacers to hold air behind the shield. He lines the flue path through the roof and marks the roof jack position under the deck. He says the first burn must be small, with every window cracked and a fan moving air. New stove paint needs time to settle. Carbon monoxide alarms must sit on fresh batteries before a match is struck. Afternoon turns to tests. The electrician finishes his runs and stands by the transfer switch. He hands the tag holder the honor of the first throw. She checks clear space. She calls the move. The switch clicks. Lights over a workbench glow from the battery bank. A small pump hums and shuts off. The inverter shows a clean sign on its screen. The couple smiles and then goes quiet. The electrician flips two extra circuits to see how the system bears a start load. A motor on the bench kicks and then stalls. He lowers the load and looks at labels. One circuit was misnamed in the rush. They correct the label on the panel and move the bench circuit to the non-critical side. The lesson is written on the whiteboard. Name only the circuits you want when the sky is dark. They roll the generator to the berm and set it on the plywood pad from Chapter 2. The exhaust points away from the shell. A heavy cord clicks into the inlet box. The tag holder checks a second time that the transfer is set for generator input. She pulls the cord on a clear count. The engine catches with a steady tone. The meter shows a solid voltage. The electrician watches for any backfeed. None shows. The generator runs for 15 minutes under a light load. Then it shuts down and cools. Fuel is capped. The key goes back into the pocket. Water takes the stage. Gutters and a first flush arrive in Chapter 6, So today is about the cistern and the pump on a temporary fill. A clean tanker tops the cistern to a safe line. The plumber checks the drop to the house. 9 feet of head gives a small pressure at the sink. The first turn of the handle gives a slow, steady stream. A small boost pump takes it from steady to comfortable. The couple logs the difference in flow and the added draw on the inverter. The numbers help them plan habits for dry spells. Propane gets a second look at dusk. The tech repeats the soap check after a heat cycle to rule out a sleeper leak. Every joint stays quiet. He shows the couple how to test with soap before lighting the stove on cold mornings. He says the test lives on the same shelf as matches. He sets a small sign where people will see it. Test, light, then cook. The chimney pro sets the stove on the pad and checks every clearance again. He builds a small stack of kindling and one split. He sets a cold start with the door ajar. He lights and waits. The flame tugs weakly and smoke wobbles into the room. The ridge wind pushes down for a minute. He snuffs the flame and rethinks the stack height. He adds one more section to the pipe above the roof deck. He braces the run and tightens every strap. He lights again. This time the flame draws and holds. He feeds a second split and keeps the door cracked. The smell of new paint rises. 2 windows sit open. Alarms wait and then keep quiet. The first safe burn ends with a small bed of coals and a lesson in draft. Chimneys want height and clear air. Carbon monoxide and smoke alarms get fresh batteries. The couple presses test buttons and listens. The tones rise in each room. They place one near the stove corner. They place one near the sleeping corner. They write test dates in the notebook and set a monthly reminder on a paper calendar tacked to a stud. The narrator notes simple habits. People keep what they repeat. A small problem appears near the septic alarm box after dark. The float should lift and trigger a light when the level rises in a test. The light does not glow. The electrician opens the cover and finds a loose spade connection. He pushes it firm and tugs. It holds. The next lift brings a steady green light. He notes the fix and sets the cover tight. Before the crew leaves, the electrician prints a simple shutoff map from a laptop. The map shows symbols and words in plain language. Main DC disconnect. Inverter. Transfer switch. Generator inlet. Cistern valve. Propane shutoff. The couple tapes one copy to the wall by the door and puts a second copy in a plastic sleeve inside the truck. Names and numbers sit on the bottom edge for the electrician, the plumber, the propane tech, and the inspector. The map is neat and large enough to read in bad light. They close the day with a quiet run through. The inverter hums at a low idle. The battery monitor shows a healthy state of charge. The sink runs and stops without sputter. The septic field lies under fresh soil that has taken a soft rain. The stove body holds a warm hand for a moment, then cools. The alarm sits silent but ready. Reflections fill the last lines of the notebook. Do not rush labels. Retest gas joints after heat and time. Give the chimney height and a clear path. Keep the generator far from doors and windows. Treat batteries with the same respect as a full fuel can. Post the shutoff map where a guest can find it. None of this is complicated. All of it matters. A new question rises with the evening air. The shell is dry. The systems start clean and pass basic checks. Now the house needs to hold comfort with modest power and water. Insulation, air sealing, and simple layouts will decide it. The next chapter moves from wires and pipes to the quiet work that turns a box into shelter. Chapter 6, From Shell to Shelter. Morning starts with insulation. A local crew walks the shell and names the targets. Walls get dense packed to our 21. The lid gets blown to our 49. The crawl or floor bays get our 30. They check vapor control. In this climate, they want a smart membrane inside the walls and a tight air barrier at the lid. The foreman rubs 2 fingers along a seam and says one rule. Stop air first, then manage vapor. An air sealing audit follows. A smoke pencil traces top plates, outlet boxes, window corners, and the rim. Thin curls show at 2 spots. One gap sits where a wire passed a stud. Another hides at a window shim. The crew backs out trim, adds a bead, and tapes the membrane clean. A second pass shows quiet lines. The notebook gets 1 line. Seal before you insulate, then test again. Interior walls rise where the plan calls for rooms and a short hall. The carpenter checks plumb with a long level and keeps plates anchored. He leaves a chase for a future wire pull so no one has to cut finished surfaces later. Drywall lands with tight seams and simple square corners. Mud stays light. The goal is clean and strong, not glossy. A thermal mass corner takes shape on the south side near the stove line. A short masonry bench runs 2 feet off the wall with fire clearances set by the card from Chapter 5. Cement board sits on sleepers, then a bed for brick and tile. The mason sets units in straight rows. No voids. He checks for a small air gap behind the shield so heat can move and cool later. By afternoon, the corner holds weight and a slow warmth. Appliance hookups are next. A high-efficiency fridge slides into a shaded niche away from the stove. A label photo shows the daily draw number. It goes into a folder with the panel photos from Chapter 5. A compact clothes washer gets a short cold run. The drain line flows without leak. A 2-burner electric hot plate lives on the counter for now. The couple reads the load numbers out loud and writes them next to each plug. Labels match the shutoff map at the door. Food storage gets a plan that does not fight the seasons. Shelves fill a north wall pantry with wide aisles and solid backs. Jars and bins sit where light stays low. A vented cold cupboard takes shape in one corner. A small high vent and a small low vent feed from the shaded outside wall through screen ducts. Each vent gets a simple slider so the couple can close them in warm spells. Night air drops the temp inside the cupboard by several degrees. A thermometer on a hook confirms the range morning and evening. Gutters arrive with a crew that likes straight lines. Drip edge is already in place from Chapter 4. They snap a chalk line for slope, about 1/8 inch per foot, and hang the run with brackets set on tight spacing. Leaf screens clip on top. Downspouts drop to first flush kits that mount on the posts. A ball in each kit rises and seats when the first dirty gallon fills. A drain at the base bleeds the pipe after storms. Clear pipe lets eyes see action without tools. The tie from downspouts to the cistern follows the trench flagged in Chapter 2. The fall stays gentle and continuous. No bellies. The overflow leaves the tank through a screened elbow and runs back to the swale. The couple watches the first test with a hose. Water rushes down the downspout, fills the first flush, and then pushes clean to the cistern. A lid thumps and settles. Air vents breathe without wheeze. No leaks show at joints. Filtration sits after storage, not before. The plumber mounts 3 clear housings on a board near the sink line. Stage 1 is a sediment cartridge. Stage 2 is a finer sediment. Stage 3 is a carbon block. A bypass lets them service one stage at a time. He prints a small card. Change stage 1 when you see color. Change stage 2 every second change of stage 1. Change stage 3 twice a year or when taste shifts. Boil water during flood warnings. Sanitize the cistern after any long open lid event. They run a slow test. A clean bucket fills at the tap. The water runs clear. A taste test follows. No grit, no smell. They log the filter install date and set a paper reminder for a change before winter. Air moves through the house with less effort now. The mass corner holds a slow cool in summer nights and a slow warm in the shoulder seasons. The fridge cycles less often. The hot plate cooks fast and then goes off. Labels keep hands honest. The vented cupboard shows a cooler reading each morning when outside air drops. Pantry jars stay dry. The couple notes fewer hours on the generator in the log. A small problem shows up at dusk. A gutter end weeps where a joint meets a bracket. The installer wipes it dry, resets the seam, and clamps a strap until the sealant cures. He chalks a checkbox for the next day. Fix, then verify with a hose. By evening, the house reads as shelter, not just a shell. Insulation stays inside where it should. The air barrier holds. Corners are tight. Surfaces are plain and strong. Water arrives clean. Energy use feels lighter without sacrifice. The day ends with a short reflection. Waste hides in weak habits and unplanned corners. Seal first. Insulate to the target. Label every plug. Store food where heat cannot find it. Catch roof water only after it is clean. Send overflow back to the land on purpose. The question on the board gets an answer for now. Yes, they have finished enough to live simply without burning extra watts or dumping clean water. The last chapter will test it. First hard weather, first real budget, and the quiet grind of days will tell the truth. Chapter 7, First Season Truth. They start the log on the first day of fall. A ruled notebook sits by the door with a pencil tied to the ring. The top line reads date, weather, power, water, heat. The second line adds notes. Each evening one of them writes numbers and one small sentence about the day. It looks simple. It keeps memory honest. Power comes first. The inverter screen gives state of charge at dawn and again at dusk. A tally of daily use lands in kilowatt hours that they speak out loud and then write. Generator hours get a separate box. A small meter on the frame shows tenths. Week 1 has 1 hour on a foggy day. Week 2 has 0. A storm week later shows 3 hours across 2 nights. A rule forms. If battery charge at dusk sits below 50, they run the generator for 1 hour and then switch back. The habit keeps depth of discharge gentle. Water gets a stick and a scale. The cistern wall holds black marks at quarters. A narrow gauge line helps the eye. Each morning after coffee, they call the level. 3/4. Half. Between half and 3/4. In a dry spell that lasts 12 days, numbers slide down in small steps. The first flush stays closed between short sprinkles, so dust does not waste space. Showers drop to short and steady. Dishes soak before the wash. When the stick reads 1/4, they pull out the neighbor's card with the truck number. A delivery tops the tank to 3/4 and buys time until the front moves in. The log marks the call, the cost, and the reason. The first freeze comes on a clear night in late October. The paper calendar by the stove shows a list called freeze routine. It starts at 7:30 p.m. Close the vents on the cold cupboard. Pull the small drain under the sink for 1 minute. Stow the hose at the cistern. Set the stove with 2 splits and 1 small log. Check batteries and alarms. Lay sand at the porch step. The routine ends with a radio call to the neighbor. All good here. See you at dawn. They follow the line and then sit close to the quiet stove. By morning, the grass snaps under boots. The sink runs without sputter. The note in the log reads first freeze routine worked. Fridays belong to care. A list on the wall reads maintenance day. The first Friday of the month takes filters. The first stage cartridge comes down. If it shows color, it gets replaced. If not, it gets a rinse and a new date on the board. The second Friday walks the roof and gutters. The ladder sits on dry ground with a helper at the base. Screens get a brush. Downspouts take a hose test. The third Friday checks the battery cabinet. Lugs stay tight. Vent slots stay clear. Dust gets wiped with a dry cloth. The fourth Friday cleans the stove glass and empties ash into a metal can that cools on bare soil. Each task gets a box and a signature. Snow arrives in a light band before the holiday. The truck tosses and spins a little on the crown above the culvert. They back down and park at the gate. A call goes out on the hand radio. The neighbor answers from a mile away with a laugh and a plan. He will drag the track with a homemade plow if they trade 2 hours next week to help spread gravel on his pullout. They shake hands at the gate and mark the trade on the board. The pass opens by noon. The truck climbs without drama. The storm after that one sits longer. Drift lines creep up to the rim of the deck. The generator bay stays clear because of the berm. They run it for an hour at dusk on day 2, when solar harvest stays low and the stove fan has worked hard. The meter shows 1.1 hours added. The log notes the reason. Low sun and higher fan use. The 2 simple words help later when they scan the page for patterns. They schedule an emergency drill on the first Sunday of each month. The plan is short. 1 person outside. 1 person inside. Radios on channel 1. A clear script. Test smoke alarm at the stove corner. Confirm water shutoff at the cistern. Confirm propane shutoff at the tank. Confirm main DC disconnect. Confirm generator start with cord unplugged from the house. Confirm transfer switch throw without load. Each step gets a voice call and a reply. Then they set everything back and note the time it took. The first drill takes 14 minutes. The second drill takes 11. The habit becomes a line they do not skip. Mid-season brings a soft failure. The vent slider on the cold cupboard sticks after a week of wet weather. Jars feel damp to the touch. A towel dries glass and lids. A small fan runs on low for 1 hour. The slider gets a rub of wax and moves smooth again. They add a line to the maintenance list. Work the sliders each Friday, even when the air feels dry. The fix holds. A second soft failure shows in the pantry. Mice leave small signs near the bottom shelf. They find a gap at the baseboard behind a bin. Steel wool fills the hole. A trim strip covers the patch. Traps sit for 2 days and stay empty. Jars move up a shelf for a week. The log holds a one-line lesson. Keep grain off the floor and close small gaps before cold nights. Numbers carry weight by late winter. The power log shows average daily use lower than the first month. Labels near plugs and a steady routine cut wasted hours. The generator meter reads 11.6 since the start of the season. Most of those hours landed in a single dark stretch in January. The water log shows two deliveries by truck. Each one kept the level from falling below 1/4 during long dry runs. The stove would stack drops by 2 cords and a few armloads. The crew wrote the load in the fall, and the numbers match now. Planning felt boring in September. It feels like comfort in February. Maintenance lists carry one more habit. They leave blank spaces under each month. When a new issue appears, they write a small task and a date. Gutter strap loose at west corner. Tighten before next storm. Cistern lid latch stiff. File edge and add a light coat of oil. Radio charger socket wobbles. Solder and strain relief on Sunday. None of these items are large. All of them matter. The money page opens on a quiet Sunday. The budget from Chapter 1 sits on the left. Land access, water start, dry and wiggle room. Actuals sit on the right. Fuel climbed. Gravel took more than planned because the truck made extra passes in the wet weeks. The cistern delivery fee repeats twice. Savings appear too. The roof rack came later, so they kept the array on the ground and saved labor. The fridge choice lowered daily draw by a slice that adds up. They write one short note at the bottom. The wiggle room line saved the plan. They keep that line for year two even if it feels tight. They pin a new board near the door with the title year two. The first card reads plant the windbreak strip. The second card reads add 2 panels and a breaker. The third card reads put a second tank on the pad. The fourth card reads cold porch floor and stoop. The fifth card reads root cellar pit on the north side. Each card has a season and a note. Spring for live plants. Late summer for panels after the long days start to fade. Fall for the second tank so the pad stays cool on install day. Warm months for soil work near the north wall. The neighbor stops by with a cup and a story about a flood from 15 years back. He points to the sweep of the creek and a log scar on a birch. He says the water rose fast on a warm rain that followed a heavy snow. The couple walks the buffer and imagines the line. They move the shed dot on the map a few yards up the shoulder. They add one more card to the board. Raise the shed pads by 1 block in spring. Small moves now keep big moves off the list later. Spring sun returns with a soft warmth. The log shows daily harvest back to healthy numbers. The generator sits quiet for 3 weeks in a row. The cistern level climbs on 2 steady rains. The first Friday walk of gutters finds leaf grit, but no clogs. The stove ashes rest cold. The pantry smells clean. The cold cupboard vents open at night and close in the afternoon. The routine feels light because it has weight. They run one last emergency drill at the end of the season. The script reads clean. The radio voices sound calm. The time lands at 9 minutes. They add a new line. Invite a friend to walk the shutoff map. If a guest can follow the map without help, the map is simple enough. A neighbor stops in and tries it. She finds each point and names each switch. She suggests a small clip light near the map for night. They add it. The final page of the notebook holds a short reflection. The house did not ask for heroics. It asked for attention. The land gave what it has always had. Sun in a steady band. Wind that shifts and teaches. Water that comes in bursts and rests in between. The budget told the truth when they listened to it every week. The first season did not offer perfection. It offered a set of habits that keep people safe and steady. They do not draw a thick line under the chapter. They make a small box around one sentence instead. Keep the log. Trade with neighbors. Test your plan when the sky is clear. Then it will hold when the sky turns dark.